When the Montgomery police resorted to mass arrests to stop the boycott 3 months after it started, the community embraced the oppression. When 90 people were indicted by a grand jury, almost all of them rushed to the courthouse to present themselves for arrest. Some people went to the sheriff's office to see if their names were on the list and were disappointed when they were not, King later wrote. A once fear-ridden people had been transformed. In future years, as the movement spread and there were waves of killing and attacks, arrests and beatings, the protesters, rather than fighting back, retreating, or using tactics that in the years before Montgomery had been activist mainstays, simply stood their ground and told white vigilantes that they were ready to forgive them when their hatred had ceased. Instead of stopping the movement, the opposition's tactics had only served to give it greater momentum and to draw us closer together, King wrote. They thought they were dealing with a group who could be cajoled or forced to do whatever the white man wanted them to do. They were not aware that they were dealing with Negroes who had been freed from fear. There are, of course, numerous and complex reasons why the Montgomery bus boycott succeeded and why it became the spark for a movement that would spread across the South. But one critical factor is this third aspect of social habits. Embedded within King's philosophy was a set of new behaviors that converted participants from followers into self-directing leaders. These are not habits as we conventionally think about them. However, when King recast Montgomery's struggle by giving protesters a new sense of self-identity, the protest became a movement fueled by people who were acting because they had taken ownership of a historic event. And that social pattern, over time, became automatic and expanded to other places and groups of students and protesters whom King never met, but who could take on leadership of the movement simply by watching how its participants habitually behaved. On June 5, 1956, a panel of federal judges ruled that Montgomery's bus segregation law violated the Constitution. The city appealed to the U.S. Supreme Court, and on December 17th, more than a year after Parks was arrested, the highest court rejected the final appeal. 3 days later, city officials received the order. The buses had to be integrated. The next morning at 5:55 a.m., King, E.D. Nixon, Ralph Abernathy, and others climbed on board a city bus for the first time in more than 12 months and sat in the front. "I believe you are Reverend King, aren't you?" asked the white driver. "Yes, I am." "We are very glad to have you this morning," the driver said. Later, NAACP attorney and future Supreme Court Justice Thurgood Marshall would claim that the boycott had little to do with ending bus segregation in Montgomery. It was the Supreme Court, not capitulation by either side, that changed the law. "All that walking for nothing," Marshall said. "They could just as well have waited while the bus case went up through the courts, without all the work and worry of the boycott." Marshall, however, was wrong in one important respect. The Montgomery bus boycott helped birth a new set of social habits that quickly spread to Greensboro, North Carolina, Selma, Alabama, and Little Rock, Arkansas. The civil rights movement became a wave of sit-ins and peaceful demonstrations, even as participants were violently beaten. By the early 1960s, it had moved to Florida, California, Washington, D.C., and the halls of Congress. When President Lyndon Johnson signed the Civil Rights Act of 1964, which outlawed all forms of segregation as well as discrimination against minorities and women, he equated the civil rights activists to the nation's founders, a comparison that, a decade earlier, would have been political suicide. 188 years ago this week, a small band of valiant men began a long struggle for freedom, he told television cameras. Now our generation of Americans has been called on to continue the unending search for justice within our own borders. Movements don't emerge because everyone suddenly decides to face the same direction at once. They rely on social patterns that begin as the habits of friendship, grow through the habits of communities, and are sustained by new habits that change participants' sense of self. King saw the power of these habits as early as Montgomery. I cannot close without giving just a word of caution, he told a packed church on the night he called off the boycott. There was still almost a decade of protest ahead of him, but the end was in sight. As we go back to the buses, let us be loving enough to turn an enemy into a friend. We must now move from protest to reconciliation. With this dedication, we will be able to emerge from the bleak and desolate midnight of man's inhumanity to man, to the bright and glittering daybreak of freedom and justice.